Good afternoon, just here in the UK anyway. It is so nice to see so many of you here. Just going to give it 1 minute for everyone to get in and then we can get started. Give me a thumbs up or let me know in the chat box if you can hear me and see me okay so that I'm not talking to myself. And then we'll get started. Awesome. Miranda says she can hear me. Thank you, Miranda. Okay, let me get my screen up so we can share and we can get going. How are we all doing? Do you have a good rest week? Have a nice restock of our creative reserves, hopefully. And I'm excited to be digging in this week, starting to get quite strategic with you guys. So I've pulled out some of your awesome questions. As always, it's so interesting to see there's like overlap and there's patterns to which questions come up each week. So if your question, if I don't speak to you directly, to your account directly, hopefully you will have your question answered by listening to other people's problems because there's so much overlap. And if not, always feel like you can ask directly in the Facebook group or on Teachable or submit for another live. Okay, so we're gonna start with Laura. Laura underscore Hasselman, for anyone who's just listening to the audio and wants to check out her page. Laura, are you here with us? I'm not sure if you're here today. If you are, unmute yourself and so we can hear you. If not, I will read out Laura's question. Okay, sounds like she's not here. So her question is about the weekly gift. If you've not got to it yet, that's something we're looking at this week. About finding a way to challenge yourself once a week to create something that is purely a gift to your audience. It's going to give them something that they want to keep, that they want to share, that they maybe want to hit save on. So it's great for your engagement, but it's also a really good way of building that community and that value into your posts. So Laura says, I thought it would be a great challenge for me to share a weekly note choosing things from my gratitude journal that I could share because this helps me so much staying positive and valuing the small things day by day. But I don't know if this could be interesting for anyone else. She said, another idea could be sharing tips for creating a cozy home, but I feel I struggle myself with having a tidy home, so I'm not sure I can be helpful for anyone else and feel like an imposter. So while I get into the next part of her question, I'd love to hear your thoughts on her idea about sharing from her gratitude journal. I actually really like that, Laura. I also think it could be like a weekly gratitude journaling prompt. So it could be like you ask a question, and in, I know there'll be a lot of overlap, but you know, rather than just saying what are you grateful for this week, it could be like, who are the people in your life you're grateful for this week? Or like, what are the luxuries in your life this week you're grateful for? Or what are the simple things? You know, like just give them a different prompt and then share your answers as well as theirs. And it could even be a story template where you just ask the question at the top and it's blank and then they can screenshot it and share on the stories and write in their answers, which would be really nice. You can put your username at the bottom so it's like a little way that it comes back to you. And if people are sharing that every week, it's going to be a nice way of kind of raising awareness of your account. Loads of things you could play with there, definitely. The other question Laura had was, she said she creates botanical ceramics and she's struggling with one of the topics she's chosen for her kind of main topics that she's pivoting around is going to be home and interiors, including her products. She says, I seem to have a problem with the last one. It doesn't seem to fit with the others. And I would like some insight on how to integrate them all. And she circled, so this one and this one as examples of ones that she feels isn't fitting in. I think this one. And I think what I would say is your photos are beautiful. They're all beautiful and your work is beautiful. I would just work on making these even more momenty. I know that's not a word, but like your outside pictures are so full of moments. They feel so like we're just watching you do something. We've just caught you in a moment of your life. Whereas these still feel a bit more thing-like, like they're clearly a product shot. So think about how can you take this even broader? Like if this is an interior, can we have like a little glimpse of like someone's walking by, or maybe like they're on a table with a cup of tea, you know, me and my cups of tea, or maybe like it's a wider room shot. Don't think that every picture of a product has to be like at least 50% product taking up the space. And remember, carousels work so well. So you could start with a much broader angle of a room and then swipe and show them a close-up of the product. I think that's going to make the difference for you if you just give yourself permission to not be so like product shop mindset when you create these images, and be a bit more kind of free and let yourself be the creative that we can clearly see from all the other pictures that you are. I hope that's helpful. If anyone's got any ideas or suggestions or insights for Laura about the gratitude journaling or about how she could integrate her product shots more easily into her feed, do pop them in the chat box so that we can share those with her. Natalie says, morning from newly locked down France, locked down from tomorrow. Yeah, how is everyone managing? It's ramping up all over the world again, isn't it? Thinking of everybody, I think we're not far behind here in the UK, but we have this beautiful community. I'm so grateful that we're able to stay connected in this way, and keep each other company and keep each other sane. Okay, hopefully that's helpful for you, Laura. Charlie, are you here with us today? If you're here, unmute and say hello. Oh, doesn't sound like Charlie. I can hear someone. Where is everybody today? I've picked all the people who aren't here with us. Okay, Charlie, I'm going to read out what you wrote. Charlie says, she seems to struggle with segueing into talking about her actual offering. She said, I feel like I'm connecting with my right people, sharing content about my core values, but I'm missing the vital step of letting people know they can hire me. I know it's something I need to do more often, and the more I seed it in, the more comfortable I'll feel, but I'd love to hear if you have any specific advice around that sort of block, Sarah. I was hoping you'd be here, Charlie, so I could coach you on this, because I think it's a really common one that a lot of us struggle with. And I think it needs a little bit of coaching sometimes with someone else to help us unpack it. Because I suspect this is for Charlie, this is for anyone who's struggling with making themselves promote their work, is you do know how, you know the how, you know what you could post. You know, you could be posting, showing your work, showing yourself prepping for client sessions, talking about clients, talking about client results, talking about like how busy you are or you aren't, all of that stuff, the desk shots. But that doesn't really answer the why you're not doing it. And I would suspect, like, normally when we're not doing it, it's because of a feeling. So I would identify what the feeling is. Is it shame? Is it fear? Is it discomfort? And then try and work back to figuring out what the thought is that's creating that feeling for you. So are you thinking like, everyone will unfollow me, or like people will think I'm a dirty capitalist, or like it'll probably be completely irrational, but figure out what the thought is that's fueling this inaction, and then see if you can choose a different thought that's going to be more powerful and more activating for you. But yeah, maybe we can coach on this another week, or if anyone else is struggling with it, they can share and we can coach on it, because I think it is one of those things that is useful to unpack, and it's useful to see someone else going through it and unpacking it as well. Okay, Charlie, sorry, we can't dive more deep today. So Emma, I think Emma's in Australia. Have I got that right? So she's probably fast asleep. It's just me talking today. She says, I get a lot of DMs from other businesses because she talks on her, sorry, I talk a bit on my Insta about business issues for hands-on makers where scaling up options or one-to-many ideas are limited. I get a lot of DMs from other maker businesses about these posts, and from that have been doing some informal mentoring work with others. I would love to expand this into a more formal offering. I'm actually a counselor by trade. I just haven't practiced since I had kids. So she can see the value she could offer. She can see what she could do. But her question is how to start. She says, I've not done anything to gain interest yet. My Insta feed is very much ceramics, as we see here. Other than some business captions every couple of weeks. I can't decide whether it's best to just put it out there as an idea and see what people say, or ramp up the business post to prepare and perhaps attract more people who might be keen to do it first before I talk about it. She said, I love planning. So of course I already have mini mentoring programs designed because that's the fun bit. So technically I could start offering it now, but it seems like a big leap. And I've only just got over the leap of doing workshops. So Beautiful work, obviously, Laura. Like, your account is gorgeous. It doesn't surprise me that you're attracting not only customers, but people in your industry. And for those of you who are makers or artists, I think you probably find this too. Like, you will, if you're showing your work well, you will not only attract customers, but you'll also attract other people in your industry who want to learn from you, either about how you're using social media or how you're creating your work. So I love this question of like, well, how can I make that a part of my business too? Do I want to? And if you do, and you've got the skills like Emma has, then it seems like a really great way to go about it. So Emma, there is no right answer here. I think you probably know that. I think you do, but you're asking anyway, because you want permission to go one way or the other. But there is no right answer. You pick, like we talked about right back in week one, pick what feels right to you. Have your own back, make it the right choice. I definitely think like there's things I would advise you can do. You definitely start offering results ahead of time. So if you've got stuff you can be putting out there, whether it's captions, whether it's stuff you do on stories, whether it's like a free download people can get, and in exchange, maybe they sign up to your mailing list, like start showing people how you can impact them so that they get something for free. But then once you've done that, it's just a question of kind of building trust in your expertise and making those offers. And there's no right or wrong time to make those offers, because you could put them on sale now and sell, you know, 20 places and run through it and learn so much from running through it with those people that, sorry, I'm getting stuck on my numbers in my head, that you're then ready to make a completely different offering in future that you wouldn't have done if you hadn't jumped in now. Or you could wait and then you could sell like 50 places and it might feel like it's an easier transition for you, but there's like pluses and benefits to each time. Or you could launch now and sell nothing, but learn so much from that. So just choose one and be all in, go for it and take the lessons and take the value that comes from it. Antonia says, what an amazing account. Not surprised you're being asked to mentor. And Danielle says, what a beautiful account. She's shouting there. Danielle, you submitted your account for review, I think, today, and it has no bio. Is that right? Tell me in the chat box if that's right, because I opened it up. I was like, she doesn't even have a bio. We need words with you, Danielle. okay. Yes, you're in trouble. Not really. But will you resubmit, Danielle? But I want you to just this week spend some time like fleshing out your bio, your goals, that really week one stuff, because I want to talk to you about your account. I want to help answer your question. But when I opened it up, I was like, oh, there's not enough for me to get started with here. Like, you've skipped a step. So you need to go back and make sure you've done that. Oh, don't go red. Don't worry. I'm not going to bring you on. yeah, so hopefully that's helpful for you, Emma, and for anyone else who's kind of in this place of like, I want to sell, but should I sell? Is there a right way to sell? When should I sell? There is no perfect time. You need to just jump in and do it and try it out, and that's how you learn. That's how you get really good at making offers, because I think there's a temptation for us to wait until we think we have the perfect offer at the perfect time for the perfect person. But the only way you figure out what all those perfects are is by trying and failing and adjusting and trying and failing and adjusting. So I could tell you with all of my insight how it might work, but that's only going to make me better at deciding how to make offers. It's not going to help you get better. You have to do it yourself and just keep trying. Angie says, a gorgeous account, it's too lovely. When I started my interior services, I just launched it, put it on as a service, and I've run through it and learned from it and now restructuring. Right, exactly, perfect way to do it. Francis says, so guilty of not jumping in and selling. I've been promising a shop for months and I'm ready, I'm just scared to make it. Yeah, it's so common. And I keep thinking about this actually, like maybe we need a little challenge at some point where it's like a selling challenge or an offers challenge. I did a one-to-one call this week with someone who her main problem was she wasn't selling more products. When we looked through her feed, like she only posted a product once a month or something. So no one is alone in this struggle, but it takes courage and it takes practice and it takes like tolerance for discomfort to get through it. Alicia says, you don't need to think of selling as tactics. If one tactic doesn't work, then that doesn't mean it won't sell that you've failed. Just get more tactics. Yes. If you haven't listened, I made a podcast a few weeks ago that was called Keep Selling Your Wonderful Thing. And just talking about this, like, just because you've tried one thing and it doesn't work doesn't mean that your product is bad or no one wants it. It just means that you've not tried the right thing yet. And until you try all the things in all the different ways, you're not allowed to give up on it. Not allowed. And Tony says, I'm hiding from putting out my products. I've only put one post on my feed. Horror. And Francis says, challenge for myself this week, make those prints. I've told you all now, so accountability. Yes. Every single one of you who's saying in the chat box that you're scared to sell something, your challenge this week is to make a post on your Instagram that is explicitly showing and telling that you have something for sale. You can do it in whatever way feels good for you, but make sure that people are in no doubt by the end of it that they are allowed to buy your thing if they want to. And then come and post it in the group so we can all cheer each other on. Anne says, I'm buzzing about your weekly gift advice, Sarah. I've created two new hashtags of my own, 6 minute marketing and words about creativity. Love those both. She says, I'm feeling fancy. It is fancy. Anya says, I get less engagement when I have a specific selling post, but do expect other posts will also direct customers to my web shop. I hope so anyway. Yes. And this was the thing that came up in the one-to-one call. She was like, well, they don't perform as well in terms of likes and comments. And that might be true, but check, do they perform better in terms of sales? And how can you balance the two? You know, we talked about that outreach versus nurture. Like, you want some posts that are there to grow your account, to like ramp up your engagement, to get people excited, but you also want some posts that serve you and the whole reason you've made an Instagram account. And if that's to sell your stuff, it shouldn't matter whether it's they underperform. And then usually what we find as well is, because we're uncomfortable about selling our stuff, we put less effort into crafting those posts. So maybe like the pictures are less effort, like they're less energy, we've been less creative with them. The caption might be lower effort. Like, we don't spend as much time directing people to that post and like, you know, engaging elsewhere or replying to comments because we feel that kind of shut down, like slight shame about it. But what if you could approach it like it was any other post? Bring all that creativity, all that fun. My challenge I always have for myself whenever I do like a sponsored post is, how can I make this even better than something I would normally post? How can I like take this to the next level? And that always really inspires me and means that I don't feel fear and shame about posting it. Instead, I feel like, I wonder if I've cracked it this time. Shamel says, talking to my audience about how the selling makes it all possible, like I don't have to go back to a day job, resonates well with both me and selling and then buying, it seems. People understand why you're selling. We want to pay the bills. Yeah, I love that. That's a really nice way of doing it. Like, I mean, it's a little bit like we're trying to justify it, right? Which we shouldn't have to do. We should never have to remind people that we're humans who need to eat and therefore want to sell. But it probably is quite an effective marketing strategy to be like, hey, when you buy things from me, it means I can buy my kids Christmas presents or whatever the reality of it is. And if that makes it easier for you to sell and to talk about selling, then I'm all for whatever makes it easier for us to show up. People want to support you. If only you show them they actually can, says Maddie. Yes. And the way I love to think about this is two things that I find helpful that maybe will be helpful to some of you. The first one is like, actually, we are all selling all the time, just not us, our own stuff. So like, have you ever discovered a TV show that you love and keep trying to recommend it to other people? And you're like, you're going to think this, like Schitt's Creek is one. I'm always like, the first series, you're going to hate it and you'll think everyone's really unlikable, but keep with it and keep watching it because it gets so good and it's going to be your favorite program. Like, I am selling people on the idea that they need to watch Schitt's Creek, and I'm very engaged and enthusiastic about it with no shame. But as soon as it's my product, all of that baggage comes back in, but it's the same exact same skill set. Like, when I know where we should go out for dinner and my husband wants to go somewhere else, I sell him on my idea and tell him why it's better. We do it all the time. So use that same skill set. It's not dirty just because you're going to make money from it. And then what was the second thing I was going to say? Oh, just think about a product that you love and you are so happy that you were able to buy. Like an item of clothing that you're just over the moon about, or a book, or anything that you've discovered and you were like, oh my gosh, yes. And you bought it immediately. And imagine if that person hadn't told you about it. Like, them selling that thing was a public service to you. And if they hadn't told you, you would have missed out on that amazing experience. And that is what we're offering our customers. We're not trying to persuade people who don't want our stuff to buy. That's not what marketing is. All we are saying is, this is a thing. This is why it's good. If you like the sound of it, it's available. You don't have to do any more than that. If you're a product-based business, should every post mention your products? I don't think every post has to. Completely up to you and completely up to what you want to create with your account. I think it's enough to just have it regularly there, like a rhythm. And I would want the overall look of my feed to make it very clear. So whether it was every three posts, every four posts, every other post, whatever felt good to you, so that not only am I seeing it, it's really obvious in the bio that I can buy, it's really obvious what the link is that's going to take me to a shop, story highlights make it really clear, there's customer reviews, there's all that stuff there. And then the caption's just icing on the cake then, because I already know. You want people to just know that your stuff is for sale without having to do any of the legwork. Catherine says, I would often like to share a photo of a page of a book. Is that okay, or are there copyright issues in doing this? I've never heard of anyone having a problem with that. I think potentially in theory there could be, but I've never come across anyone who's been like chased after for it. And I think that the worst that would happen is that you would be asked to take the post down, or the post would be taken down for you. So that's not legal advice. I'm not a lawyer, but to the best of my knowledge, you'll be fine. Susie says, so true. That's exactly what I'm like. As long as I'm pushing whatever for someone, anyone else, I can be completely behind it and enthusiastic. But as soon as it's anything to do with me, I just can't. Yeah. And so I think the other side of this is like, we have to get really, really strong on our belief in the value that we offer to our people. And that's hard. It's really hard. It takes a lot of work to cultivate it. So I don't know. My brain keeps going to like, I feel like we need like a challenge or like a weekly program or something that we can do all together where we like work through this, because it's such a common problem. And I think it goes deeper than just like, oh, I'll just force myself to make an offer. I don't think that's going to fix it for a lot of us. So this conversation is really helpful. It gets my brain going anyway. Okay. Emma, we'll move on. I hope that was helpful. I know we went a bit on a tangent. I think we have another selling question, actually. Where am I? Number four. Adrian, are you here? If you're here, unmute yourself. I have managed to just pick everybody who's not talking today. She says, I haven't had the nerve to post the scarves that my sister and I create that I would like to sell on Instagram. I'd love it if you could look at my grid and let me know what you think about how to fit them in. They are illustrated maps that I've created, and their sister gets them made onto fabric. So, like, I think by now we probably know what the answer is here, right? Just post them. Just take some beautiful pictures that you love, that you feel excited and creative and inspired by, and put them on your grid. And whenever you get stuck in one of these, I don't know how, kind of spinning, wasting time, frozen point of development, I want you to just ask yourself, what if I did know? And your brain will be like, well, I don't know. And then just be like, okay, but what if we did? What would that look like? What would we do? Because I can give you specific ideas, and I would definitely say like, get yourself on Pinterest, look at some different kind of flat lays and styled things. Anya says she can see them draped on those stairs are beautiful. Like you could
have- Sarah, can you hear me now?
Yes, hi.
Oh, I couldn't, for some reason I couldn't get, I haven't heard nothing you said.
Oh no.
Not been able to speak. I'm, forgive me, I made a mistake.
Okay.
My sister and I, Elise Ottenberg, are in business together for my scarves.
Sure.
My Instagram is at Adrian Maps.
Okay.
And this is my sister's. And I must have made a mistake and sent you the wrong
thing. No problem. You didn't hear what we were saying earlier.
No.
So basically what I was saying is you just need to do it.
Oh.
You just need to do it. And look how creative you are. You will have so many amazing ideas about how you can showcase those scarves. If you just let go of the fear and this feeling like they have to be perfect or it has to be right. Just have fun, like take pictures of them in a way that feels exciting and creative to you. And then just try it, just throw them up there and see what people say. I think people are gonna be really excited.
Okay, I mean, I haven't figured out yet how to just show them. And
why not?
My sister hasn't either.
What's that about? Why? What is there to figure out?
I guess that what is there to figure out? Well, I like as I came on, you were saying something about putting them over the stairs. I feel like that's exactly sort of what I need to hear. I need to be at this moment sort of told what to do. So if someone said to me, drape it over the stairs, oh, I could do that. Or but I don't know.
Why do you think your brain wants you to be told exactly
what to do? Is freezing?
Yeah, why? You're an artist. Why does your brain think you need to be told how to show someone a scarf?
I guess I just feel or think that one of the reasons I work with my sister, and maybe actually a bigger question is maybe my feed shouldn't be the one showing the scarves, but selling for me is like a completely different brain space than when I'm doing my own creative work. And I find like there's a huge like sort of mental transition to it. And that it takes up a lot of time and a lot of just mental effort. And then it really takes me a while to get back to.
What if none of that had to be true about selling these scarves?
Well, that's an interesting thought.
Can you imagine it? What if it could be,
okay,
you fling it over the back of a chair, you take a quick picture on your phone, you're like, you don't have to go to a new headspace. You stay exactly where you are and you just say to the people who follow you, look what I've been making.
I could try that.
I think what you're falling into, the trap you're falling into here, it sounds like, and it's such a common one for all of us, is your brain is trying to keep you safe. And it feels like there is a risk in selling or in promoting these things. Probably the risk of failure, maybe.
Oh, dear.
You lost us again.
Yeah, no, you're back now.
Okay. Probably a risk just of failure and the discomfort of failure. So your brain is like, this is dangerous. We have to be really careful and protect ourselves from this danger. So we need to know exactly how to photograph them. And we need to know exactly which account to post them on. And we have to put all this energy into getting into the sales headspace. And what actually happens when all of those barriers are created by your brain is you're just not going to do it. Like it's going to be so much harder to sell them.
Right.
But what if it could just be easy? What if there is no danger? And all you have to do is tell people you made some scarves and show them how beautiful they are. And what happens.
Okay. All right.
Does that feel possible?
It absolutely does, because I have the model. So I'm going to do some real work on this.
Yes. Yes. I think you have all the tools you need for this.
That's so helpful, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Will you let us know when you've posted one? I think absolutely share it on this account. It needs to belong on all of your accounts. You should be celebrating these amazing things you've made and shout it from the rooftops. So okay. Come and post in the Facebook group when you have, so that we can all come and celebrate with you, please.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Adrienne. Really nice to talk to you. And you've got lots of ideas. People are suggesting lots of ideas for you in the chat box. So have a read of those, like if you're still feeling hungry for specific ideas.
Yeah.
And I would go on Pinterest and make yourself like a board of ideas of pictures to help you get out of that frozen space. But don't get sucked into perfectionism. Don't get sucked into thinking there's a right way, because there's no right way. Just sharing it, just showing your work. Okay, Megan. Are you here, Megan?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Let me find you. I can't see
Hello?
You. There you go. Hi.
Hiya.
Would you like to talk through what your question was?
Yes, fine. So this was a page that was very unused and unloved. And this year I moved to Portugal and I've got more time and I can kind of make work and do textiles, which is the thing that in London I was always putting off and not doing. So I'm using Instagram to kind of show up and share some work and be, it's very unnatural for me really to post things that I'm working on. So it's kind of a, yeah, new step. But so there's the right people I was reading and listening to, and instantly my people are like textiles people, and because that's what I love and who I kind of look for and what I love finding on Instagram. But then when you were talking about engagement, sort of converting to sales, I realized maybe it now, because it's growing from the beginning, I can build something in to help with conversion instead of just textiles people, where they engage and they like it, but maybe they're not going to be the buyers.
Yeah, so it's this kind of
problem. Because the ultimate goal would be the ultimate goal would be to have the work eventually in a gallery or exhibitions and stuff like that. So I don't know if I should just build that in from the beginning.
Somehow. Yeah, it's a really good question, because this is kind of the age-old dilemma for creatives on Instagram, is you tend to build a big audience of people who share your creative pursuits. So whether it's like knitting or you're a painter or whatever, you'll find people following you who love the same craft and activity as you. And that can be great, like as we talked about earlier, with the possibility of like adding in services or teaching or products specifically for that part of your audience. And I think there is some value as well in when you consider people who know and understand the financial value of handmade work are often people who are handmakers themselves. You know, like people who are used to buying their art from B&Q, or like from like off the shelves at the supermarket, are more likely to go, why is this so expensive? I could buy something that looks to me the same for like a fiver in Tesco. So I do think that it's not always a bad thing to have other makers and other people in that kind of community, because they will appreciate your work, appreciate its value in a way that perhaps other audiences might need more education on. But what I love about your feed, and I read your question and I had the answers in my head before I looked at your feed, and then I came here and I was like, she is doing this so perfectly. So I really wanted to bring your feed up as an example, because this feels like, especially like your top nine right here, like your more recent posts, feels like a magazine a magazine that someone who wants your work would read. It doesn't feel like it's a page specifically about textile work or embroidery or however you create it. It doesn't feel like a catalogue for your work. It feels like a journal of your world. It feels like an exclusive, gorgeous, non-glossy magazine. You know, those beautiful, like matte, minimal kind of ones. It feels like one of those. And oh, look, here amongst the pages are some things that I can actually buy. And so I think you're doing a really beautiful job of creating that whole experience. And that is the way to grow a broader audience, because people will come here who maybe don't know yet that they want to buy your work, but they'll follow you for the lifestyle, for the greater story. And then once they're hooked on that and they wish that they lived your beautiful life in Portugal, they'll be like, oh, but I can have a tiny piece of it. And I can be reminded of that beautiful life in Portugal and that aesthetic by having a piece of her work on my wall. But if your ultimate goal that you mentioned is galleries, then I think there needs to stay room in here for other creatives and other artists, because they'll probably be the people who will commission you for that. Think about it. You want people who are in the industry, who are in the world, because they'll be the ones that mention you to someone, or that open a gallery and need some work in there, or so I think it's just about that. It's a mixture of hashtags. So don't only use specific textile hashtags, because they'll bring in other textile people. Make sure you're using like lifestyle general hashtags for the rest of us too. Keep the mixture up. I think you've got a really good balance, and I think you're nailing it.
Thank you. That's really nice to hear. It's really helpful.
Keep it up. Beautiful work. And you've got lots of lovely questions in, lovely comments in the chat box as well. Francis says, I've seen your page, love the aesthetic so much, I follow straight away. Oh. I have exactly the same problem with my field, but I guess I'm a customer of other illustrators, so why wouldn't they buy from me? So hard to get your head around. Yeah, completely. And that's where like that, I think illustrators buy from illustrators and you know, ceramicists buy from ceramicists because we appreciate each other's work even more if we're immersed in it, right? Like I buy a lot of other photographers' work for my wall. Okay, hopefully that's helpful, Megan.
Yes,
keep it posted. Thank you very much. I'm excited to see what happens next.
Thank you.
Okay, final one for today is Lucinda, are you here? Lucinda does Toasty Kids. Love the name, looks super toasty, beautiful feed. She said, she would love some advice on where to start with getting in front of the camera for stories. She said, the very thought fills me with dread and cold terror. So far, I've only used my hands to demonstrate product features and my voice, but I'm too petrified to show myself and no idea what to say. I actually did a couple of years ago a talk to camera challenge over on my website. So I will find that and I'll link to it in the Facebook group. I got a tips and advice from people who I know who are amazing at talking on camera, because it's not really my best skill set either, as you might have noticed. But so I found people who find it really easy or who seem to find it really easy, and they told us the tips and the advice. And then I started to share some prompts as well. So I'll bring those over as well. I think it's just about having a little plan in your head of what you want to share. So if you're going to showcase a product, how you're going to talk about it, what you want to say, and don't feel like you have to get it perfect at all. Like it can just be conversational, it can just be full of mistakes and misspeaks and overcorrections and all of that stuff. One of my favorite ways to do it personally is I get so in my own head about talking to camera that the best way is to just go live, which sounds disgustingly terrifying, I know. But when you're live, there is no time to think about everything else. You're not thinking about your hair and you're not worried that you look fat and you're not like wondering if you've used the right words. You're just in the moment and you get that instant feedback because people are there commenting and then it's done. And so if anyone is like wanting to talk to camera but feeling the fear, I can't explain it. It sounds like the worst thing ever. And as you hit live, it will make you feel sick. But as soon as you get started, all of the fear goes away and it's actually just fun. So I think everyone should try it. Lucinda says she won't make it today. Sorry, Sundari, I didn't know that. Danielle says, it looks amazing. I have so many nieces and nephews who I will now be buying all of this for. Definitely, I keep thinking now, actually, like all it needs, all the toasty things. And I actually think, like, how lovely would it be to see the people behind a brand, especially when a brand page like this, where it feels quite, like it could be a really big business. You know, like it could, it we haven't got much sense of a real human behind the feed from these posts. So if you were there on stories or on live showing us like why you chose the colors you chose, or like how excited you are that the deliveries just come in with all of the new stock that you've like not seen in real life yet, or you know, the fun lining in the pocket or whatever it is that you're excited about your product, I think that that would really humanize it and make people feel even more connected and inspired to buy. Danielle also says, check out Polar Post. She started recently talking to camera in her stories and I love it. She's a little nervous and that's more endearing. Yeah, that's so true actually. Like when people are super polished, like a TV presenter, I feel a bit turned off. But when they're just a human, it is really endearing. And you're allowed to be nervous and you're allowed to tell people you're nervous. I love watching other people go live. I'm never thinking, wow, they're awful. But yet that's what I'm afraid people will think if I do it. Oh yeah, totally, right? That's what our brains love to do. But I mean, I might do a little challenge for everyone before the end where we all have to go live because it is a really good experience. And it's great for engagement too. So kind of gives you a little boost in the algorithm. So something to think about. Okay, I've waffled on for so long. So I'm going to let you guys go and get on with your day. If we didn't get to you today, as I said, resubmit or ask in the Facebook group specifically. Danielle, I want to talk about your account next week. You've got your homework. And everybody else, go sell your stuff. Go tell the world about your amazing work. Stop being so modest. You're bloody brilliant. And everybody needs to know. Okay, lots of love, everyone. Have a great day.